That doesn't work that way. Listen very carefully. Salvation, God thought it. Salvation, the Holy Spirit wrought it. Salvation, Jesus Christ bought it.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast today. We're talking about what I think is a very timely, critical subject issue today. How to vet a candidate. And specifically, we're talking about the candidates that's running for the governor's office in the state of Florida. I believe it's time that we recognize that there is a need to vet the candidate and cast our ballot in a manner that pleases the Lord in doing so. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about that candidate, and I believe that there's only one candidate that meets the qualifications for a Christian, conservative, and patriot, and how we need to vote in doing so. And that is simply this. If we look at it on the basis of the candidates, and I've asked the question in our first round of questions about the candidacy, which candidate openly talks about his Christian faith and values and his commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that's Paul Renner. Right. We ask another question. Which candidate openly commits to block the Islamic invasion in Florida, and that is Paul Renner. Jerry, speak to that for a moment. Why is it important? You touched on it earlier. Why is it important for a governor in the state of Florida to stand against the invasion of the Islamic jihadist? And I use the term Islamic jihadist very, very clearly. I've had the privilege of publishing 2 books, Is Islam Tolerant? And then The Coming Global Islamic Invasion. Both books, I go right from their book, which is the demonic book called the Quran. And in the Quran, they want to kill every non-believer. That's every non-Muslim. Whether it's Jew or Christian, they want to kill, destroy. And at this present time, we have, as coming from the Islamics themselves, over 1,100 Islamic candidates running in the United States of America. So speak to that for a moment, passionately. Why is it so important? And I believe Christians are asleep. I believe conservatives are asleep. One article that I read on the broadcast the other day, are we sleepwalking into Islamic control? That says it all. Speak to it from the passionate standpoint that you see.
I started learning about it after Charlie Kirk died. I read the book Unholy Alliance, and it told how they have been insidiously getting into our civil arena. And that is why it is so important that we pick our leaders that have a biblical worldview.
Good. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very important for us to vet the candidates and vote for the candidate. We're talking about the candidate that meets all the prescription, as I call it, biblically, and that's Paul Renner. Paul, I believe you're on the line. Thank you for taking a moment out of your busy schedule and calling us. Take a moment, share with our listeners why they need to vote and why you're the candidate they need to vote for.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I'm running. The why question of why I'm running is I don't want to go backwards, having been a key architect with the governor in building the free state of Florida. And the governor just a couple weeks ago said and called me out to say that I'd be a really good governor. So I think you know where he's going as far as his vote goes. And so we don't have to have concerns or doubts. You've got a candidate in me that was there when we built the Free State of Florida, and we're going to protect it and strengthen it.
Tell me, Paul, if you would take a moment, just give our listeners, some may not have heard you before, some may be preparing today to go cast a ballot. So speak to that listener, and we have, geographically speaking, about 2.2 million people that have available to them this broadcast. Speak to that for a moment. Why the listener that's ready to vote, why you stand out above all of the other candidates running for the governor's office on the Republican ticket. Speak to that for a moment. Take your time in doing so.
Four reasons. First is experience under pressure. You want somebody who's battle-tested. I spent 20 years in the military at age 23 in the first of two wars in Operation Desert Storm, navigating through mine-infested waters and leading a team to destroy those mines. 20 years later in Afghanistan, the second of two wars I served in, stopping foreign fighters from coming into Afghanistan and led an intelligence unit to discover those folks before they came in to hurt us. Also, as a state attorney, so I've been a prosecutor prosecuting habitual and violent habitual offenders and know what that's like to have a victim counting on me to make sure I put that bad guy away so there's not another victim. I was a business owner, a partner in a business, so I've had private sector experience, small business experience, as well as leading the Florida House of Representatives as a speaker about a little less than 500 employees, and you're making sure the trains run on time, hiring and firing and doing all the things to make sure that works. That's number one. Number two is results, and the governor said those 2 years when I led the Florida legislature were unprecedented, that better than any other time in Florida history, and it was a whole bunch of things. It was universal school choice to make sure parents can choose the school that best fits their child's needs, which is a big boon to Christian education, homeschool education. The PEP program was something I created for the homeschool parents listening, and we defended life by passing the Heartbeat Protection Act. We stood up for parental rights. We ended transgender surgeries on minors, boys and girls bathrooms, and some of the crazy books that were in schools, and all these things. We protected children from online pornography and addictive social media platforms, and big tech lobbied up to stop us, and we beat them. So you want a governor who can stand up to special interest and beat them. You want a governor with a vision is number three, and we have our contract with Florida to get after homestead property taxes and eliminate those, to lower property insurance and also electric rates. We have specific plans, unlike the other candidates. You can't pass platitudes, but you can pass plans, and we have specific plans to do that, as well as keeping Florida free, and that means leaning into opposing public corruption, ending human trafficking, the death penalty, making sure we limit appeals to 3 years so we don't have people today. We have people on average over 30 years on death row, as well as, you know, keeping a health freedom going, making sure we're protecting our environment, election integrity, ending the surveillance state, whether it's flock cameras or some other form of threat to our hyperscale data centers. I'm opposed to those as well. And also pushing back against the red threat of China and the green threat of Islam, which we've talked about at length on your show. And so those are some of the things we'll do. And, of course, on Amendment 3 and 4, pot and abortion, I alone among the candidates was with the governor fighting to make sure that didn't happen. Yes. Same thing with school board races, in 22 and 24. So if you want a leader like Governor DeSantis, I'm your candidate.
Paul, I am thankful. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Paul Renner, I believe our next governor for the state of Florida. I'm thankful for him. Now, Paul, I understand that recently on one of the podcasts that you did, someone asked the question, how are you going to separate your faith from your work if you're governor? And I'm thankful to know your answer to that. But I want our listeners to understand your position as a faith person, believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you stand on that? Will your faith be bifurcated, or will you stand on that?
No, you stand on it. I mean, you can't separate it, and it gives you a capital T truth that comes from, you know, Scripture, comes from, you know, your faith and your experience, obviously, but it gives you a capital T truth, and we know truth comes from God. And the problem with the other side is they don't believe in any truth anymore. That's why
right.
They can't tell you what a woman is. And so, no, those are not separable issues. And so that will absolutely be something that will characterize my time as governor. I'm always going to speak up for capital T truth.
And one of the things that we need today, and I talk about that in my opening monologue and every broadcast, is standing for truth. And truth is the centrality of where we need to be. Governor Paul Renner, I am thankful for you. We're looking forward to it. Speak, if you will. Maybe there's a person that's wondering at this point, well, what do I do when our president recommends a candidate? Shouldn't I follow the president's recommendation or endorsement? How do you answer that to the general public that may be ready to vote and they are in a quandary as to how to determine that?
Well, for starters, he endorsed before anybody else was in the race. I think there's things that he probably doesn't know, or wouldn't, if he did, he wouldn't endorse. So I think everybody, you know, I think everybody I talk to, and I go to Trump clubs and speak to all kinds of folks that are very big fans of the president, who say, I'm not voting for his endorsed candidate. I'm going to vote for you because of the things I mentioned. You're a leader that's helped the governor build this free state of Florida, and we're going to keep it that way.
Well, I'm thankful for that. I'm a little bit bothered, as you would know, with our Marxist media and their position on the candidate of choice for the media, and how they're playing up a particular candidate. In fact, on the early morning news on one of the networks, they were showing the percentages for three candidates. They didn't even show a percentage on your candidacy, as though you're not even in the race. So I want our listeners to understand the importance of making a decision based on the authority of the Word of God and not based on what the Marxist media may say. So, Paul, again, I am thankful for that, and I'm thankful for those that are listening today. And it's my prayer that they will make a qualified decision based on scrutiny of the candidates and will cast their ballot for Paul Renner, next governor for the state of Florida. Governor, thank you so much for calling. Thank you for your candidacy. Looking forward to sometimes late tomorrow night of hearing the answer that Paul Renner is our next governor for the state of Florida. Thank you for calling in, and God bless you.
God bless you, Doctor.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a round table here, Karen, Natalie, and Jerry. We're talking about this very subject, about Paul Renner. I believe we have Lily on the Lily. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. I have just a personal question. I, at this late stage, I have a mail-in ballot in my hands. I don't know if there is any pickup arrangement or anything. I'm concerned about getting it in.
What is the standard for that? Karen, answer that
we
for
do, we, there is not a specific pickup. Laws have been changed because of ballot harvesting that the Democrats did back in the day. So if you it's too late to mail it. Don't put it in the mailbox. You need to take it to your person. Well, have somebody take it to the Supervisor of Elections office. Mm. That is downtown on Monroe Street, and it has to be there by 7 p.m. Tomorrow. Tomorrow is Election Day. Anything that's not received by 7 p.m. is not counted.
Mm-hmm. Lily, I believe you're in a downtown apartment complex. That should not be difficult for you to get there. It would be very, very good for you to get that ballot in the election headquarters hands as soon as possible.
Absolutely.
Thank you for calling and asking that question. We'll be praying to the Lord to give you the transportation to get there and get it into the hands of those that will count that. And thank you so much for your call.
I'll go get it.
Yeah.
I'll take her.
Yeah. You can get a friend to take you. That's great.
Yeah. That's good, yeah. So, Lily, thank you so much, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We just had the privilege of talking with Paul Renner, the next governor for the state of Florida. We have a round table here with some ladies, Karen and Natalie and Jerry, all three passionate about this election, as should be so for any Christian, conservative, or patriot. Let me start a round table again with you, if you would, Karen. As we look at the issues, and Paul talked about that just a moment ago, but didn't go into depth, of course, because of the time. There's the LGBTQ agenda that's in our school books, textbooks, and pouring into textbooks, and it seems that even in Duval County, there's not a passion by some of the teachers' unions and or even our leadership. You need not amen that. That's my position. So as a result of that, the governor, Governor Paul Renner, says he's going to stop that. What is that good? Is that important? Does that lend a valuable equation to our election?
Well, it definitely adds an equation to it. I think probably Natalie's probably better at the school board issues than I am, but we have people on the school board who definitely want to curb this LGBTQ the activity, get the books out of there, that kind of thing. But there is a huge
resistance.
Yeah, there's a huge resistance. And certainly the unions are not going to be in favor of our actions. So it is an ongoing issue. The new governor is going to have to be just as strict or more so than Governor DeSantis has been. And one of the things that's so wonderful, I think Natalie brought it up, is that Paul Renner did 2 years ago when we were electing new school board members. Paul Renner, even though he was no longer in office, ran around the state supporting good conservative school board candidates.
Amen.
And getting them money into their campaigns so that they could win those elections. That's why in Duval County, we now have a majority of conservative members on the school board, and that is the first time it has ever happened in the history of Duval County.
And I'm thankful we had on this radio broadcast a good part in electing three of them.
That's correct.
And I'm prayerful that that will be so in the future.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. We got to keep it up for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. So for every parent that's listening, if you're concerned about the garbage, and I can use that correctly, the garbage that's being taught to your child, son or daughter or grandkids in the public school system, it's time that we say enough is enough. And either remove them from the public system or be sure that the school board hears us and the school board superintendent takes a stand and not, well, you ladies might disagree with me. I believe it's a willy-nilly, wishy-washy mindset rather than an absolute stand that we're going to stop this in Duval County. You're about to say something, Natalie.
Yeah, I do want to expand on that, Dr. Youngblood. We have done a good job. We have a good conservative school board member.
Yes.
In Duval County. They have done a good job making a lot of progress in kind of what's being in front of children.
We got one or two that's being termed out, though, right now.
We do. Mm-hmm. We do have great candidates for backup on
yes.
this, too. But that being said, one way to deal with the bad things is to, of course, address the bad things. But another way is to add more good. And I think that Paul Renner, one of the things that he talks about a lot is having influence over the Department of Education
yes.
to have more classical curriculum woven into all of the district programs. So that's another way to combat bad is by adding more good. And I think that approach of classical education, which is the most popular, all the classical schools in town have a huge wait list. And our district schools are losing enrollment year after year after year. So it's definitely a popular model of parents. It's definitely the way to go. And I know that future Governor Renner will have a lot of influence to try to change that landscape for us.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, our next governor, Paul Renner, has made the statement, and I quote, "We're going to have parents to make the decision whether their child goes to school, private school, Christian school, public school, homeschool." Paul Renner is the candidate for governor of the state of Florida. If you're a parent, a grandparent, you're concerned about, you're interested in the education for your child, and not just a brainwashing session, I say Paul Renner is the candidate. So, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Jerry, I've got a question for you. And Paul, our next governor, just spoke a moment ago on the radio broadcast as he called in about it. The flock cameras, which is 119,000 in the nation, 7,000 in the state of Florida, he says, "I'm against it." Are you familiar with it enough to speak to our listeners why they needed to vote for Paul Renner, if nothing else, because of the invasion of privacy, the evisceration of our Fourth Amendment by the flock cameras? What do they do? Why is it bad? And why is it so vital that our listeners vote for Paul Renner?
Okay, well, flock cameras have been around for about 10 years. They were started to catch terrorists so they could see their license plates and see where they go. But like anything good, evil always takes over, and they are everywhere. We were out in the woods at 4th of July vacation, and they were all over the place. And they are following people, and they are right in front of people's apartments, and they're seeing who's coming and who's going. So people will say, well, it's great for them to have the data. But when people have so much data, power is going to take over, and then data is going to be sold, and it's not going to be a good thing. And Paul Renner sees this. He sees it from both sides. He got the endorsement of the FOP, Florida Police Officers,
yes.
because he does care about safety. Mm-hmm. But he also cares about invasion of privacy. And these flock cameras are showing up everywhere.
That's correct.
And they are tracking where people are going and who is getting that data. And they've already had abuse all over the country by police officers using it for personal items, following their ex-girlfriends or their ex-wife. We can't have that. We're not a police state.
Right.
We are the free state of Florida, and Paul Renner will keep us that way.
Absolutely. Well stated, and I'm looking forward to the next governor being Paul Renner. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Let me elongate a little further on that flock camera aspect of it. Right at this very moment, and you talked about the data and the control of that data, it has been discovered that police departments that have that data will sell that to other locations and other locales. Mm-hmm. For example, homeowners associations can use that data to spy on who is in the homeowners group, what they're doing, if they're painting their house without permission, if they're not taking out the garbage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That is spying. Coral Gables, Florida, right here in our fine state, Coral Gables just announced they're going to put the flock cameras on all of their garbage trucks. So as they go in and out of subdivisions, they can determine, are you doing something without a permit? In their words, not mine, if we see that the grass has not been cut, we can ticket them. If we see that they're replacing a roof, we check to see if they've gotten the permit. If we see an old bathtub out in the front yard to be picked up, we know they're remodeling the bathroom.
We're going to be living in Shanghai pretty soon.
Absolutely. We'll be living in China. That's the whole point. And that's the direction I was heading. China has that today.
Yeah.
You cannot move without China seeing, knowing what you're doing, where you're going. That is what is called the system that is used to determine
police state.
Yep. Whether or not you can buy, sell, trade, or move.
Right.
And ladies and gentlemen, my position is, from a theological, doctrinal, biblical standpoint, and I'm an absolutist on that, that it's going to be in the hands of the Antichrist that one day will control the world and know where you're going, what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're spending, etc. And so, ladies and gentlemen, it's time we have a governor in the state of Florida that will say absolutely no.
Absolutely.
No flock cameras in the state of Florida. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes. What do you all think is the best way to combat voter fraud?
Bob, if you would speak up a little closer to your phone.
What do you think is the best way to combat voter fraud?
I could give you a two-hour answer. I'm going to ask Karen to answer that.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, good. there's a lot of things that can be done. I know in Florida, actually, when Paul Renner was in the the Speaker of the House, we made some major changes to the election laws here to tighten them up. Is there room for improvement? Yes, there is. But you know, you can only get so much passed at a time. One of the big issues with voter fraud that is kind of universal is the mail-in ballots. That's probably the largest issue that is there. You can talk about the machines, the electronics, and all of that. That's kind of a given. And I don't have a solution for that at the moment. But mail-in ballots are a real problem because they get mailed out. People fill them out. People can go into a mailbox or in an apartment building and pick up a bunch of them and fill them all out. There's a lot of things that still need to be looked at.
Bob, simply put, if I could do a succinct Cliff Notes answer to that is simply this. Do away with the mail-in ballots unless you're a veteran out of state, out of town. If you're sick and in the hospital, there must be a special needs request for that mail-in ballot. Right. Back in 2020, according to the new whistleblower, 1,500,000 mail-in ballots were printed in China, shipped to Canada, shipped then to Mexico, and then shipped back to the Democrat, Socialist, Marxist, Communist in America to disperse those. And it happened to be that they were completely filled out. All of them, none of them had ever been folded. All of them filled out with a little ink blurb done by the printer and not by a pen. And all the votes were for Sleepy Joe, auto pen Biden. So I would say the main thing, if it were left up to me, it would be federal day, that's one day of vote day, not tomorrow, not pre-voting, et cetera, not early voting, one day, it's a federal holiday, and everybody has to go in and fill out a paper ballot, and the paper ballots are counted. We go back to where 25 years ago you could have election when the polls closed within an hour, 2 hours at the most. We knew who the winners were. It's not a difficult thing to count ballots. And so that's my position, Bob, and I think we need to look at it, tighten up the reins, and do something that will clarify how we're voting and to know that every vote counts and not counting it a half a dozen times. Natalie?
Yeah, I want to switch gears a little bit, if you don't mind, on voter election. Jerry Holland often tells us the biggest way to cure voter fraud is to have people go and vote. And right now we're seeing the highest apathy that we might have seen in decades at this election right now, this primary election. However, maybe God's hand is at play. Apathy is probably good for Paul Renner because people who love Paul are going to vote.
Amen.
So what we need right now is to make sure that everybody can wake up and to recognize you might not see Paul on Fox News or these other channels, and you might not be getting 100 mailers. He doesn't have $100 million, but he does have faithful servants who will take action tomorrow and show up and vote.
Amen.
And right now, the biggest people that have come out to vote are the Democrats in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. So we need all of the good, faithful, conservative Christians to show up and to show that apathy will not rule the day and that they will take over. And again, the other Republican candidates are not as conservative. And so they're not as excited. I mean, people are not as excited to vote for the other Republican candidates in that primary. If you're a conservative, we need you to be excited and not apathetic and take action tomorrow. Early voting is already over in Duval County. It's not today. Mm-hmm. But tomorrow we need all of these voters to land on the victory of apathy in this community because we need to have our conservative people rise
Absolutely.
Up.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the summarization of that is vote, and we need to vote with a discernment from a central biblicist worldview. What does the scripture say? How should we vote? And I believe we need to vote for the person that's looking out for the morals, ethics, and the values of our nation and for our state. One that's looking out for we the people and not for a political machine. Jerry, we've got just a moment or two left on the broadcast. I'm going to ask you a question in relationship to this candidate. He has a proven record. What should a proven record say or do for a person that's wondering how to vote? You don't have to take time to go through and articulate all that Paul has done, but would you say he's got a proven record? And what are some of the things you touch on very quickly?
He was Speaker of the House. All you have to do is look at all the bills. And even Governor DeSantis said it was the most productive
Yes.
congressional state system we had. And it wouldn't have happened without Paul Renner.
That's right.
Because the Speaker is the one that decides what bills go to the floor and get voted on.
Absolutely.
So they can kill a bad bill.
Absolutely.
So it's very important who's in leadership. And he proved that. Just look at his congressional record.
Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's wrap up with some thoughts. Let me give you some grits for the mill, as the old cliche goes. The candidate that openly stands for faith, freedom, and for our rights as citizens, Paul Renner. The one that stands against Islamic invasion in the state of Florida, Paul Renner. The one that stands against the LGBTQ sodomite agenda in our public school system, Paul Renner. The one that stands for the homeowner with a desire to go in through the legislative process and cancel all taxes on personal property that you're living in. The flock cameras, Paul Renner says no to flock cameras. Paul Renner says, ladies and gentlemen, that school ought to be a parent's choice. What school he goes to, vouchers is the favorite thing, homeschool, public school, parochial school, public school, that should be Paul Renner, and that's his position. Which candidate openly commits to putting a stop to the rapid sprawl of the data centers? Paul Renner. Which is the candidate that stands in the position of wanting to debate but refusing to have debate by others that are running? Paul Renner. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me recommend to you Paul Renner as candidate for governor of the state of Florida. Thank you for tuning in today, and we look forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.